Apologize for the delay. Putra and Dechuya. We started this topic last week. There were only a couple of you here last week. I don't remember. It was Batya and maybe Athena. I don't remember. But either way, so this is really a background to what we introduced last week. So we're not really going to, it's not like you missed anything last week. We're going to go over it again today. And much of it is, as I mentioned before, not mentioned in the Gemara. The concept of Hutra versus Dechuya, we introduced a couple weeks ago or a couple times ago, and we went through one version of that situation last week. But the truth is that the Gemara never talks about it. The Gemara never talks about it, at least in explicit terms. You'll find that the first source sounds almost explicit, but then you'll see how it might not be so explicit. And you'll see what I mean. The Gemara starts in the Gemara in Shabbos. This is coming on the heels of a Mishnah. And the Mishnah told us that if a woman is giving birth or is going into labor, to be more specific, then you do whatever she needs. You generally do whatever she needs. But specifically when she's going into labor, you do whatever she needs on Shabbos. No matter what Malacha you have to violate. So Amar Mar, we had said before, Im ha'isa tricha l'ner, chaverta madlekas l'hasaner. If she needs a candle, so you light the candle. So the Gemara says, Pshita, you already told us, right, this is on the heels of the Mishnah, so you have to sort of put your mind in the context that we're not seeing here. There was a Mishnah that said you do whatever she needs. So the Gemara is now asking, well, you already told us you do whatever she needs, so why would you have to tell us that you have to light the candle? Right, that would be redundant. We already heard that from that's included in everything that she needs. So Pshita, so Gemara says, Lo tricha b'suma. What's a suma? A blind woman's giving birth. So maybe you would think a blind woman says, I need a candle. Okay, so like, if you needed it, so we'd violate Shabbos. But what do you need a candle for? So Mahu did him, what would you have thought? Given the lochazia, because the candle is not important for her, so then aster, or is not useful for her, I should say. So then aster, you would have thought that you would say it's forbidden. Kamash malan, iyatuve miyatvadate. Despite the fact that this candle has no utility in a functional or tangible sense, it is still something which makes her feel at ease. Just the comfort that it brought to her is enough. So svara savra iika midi chazya chavirtai v'avdali. Right, to teach us that if she needed anything, if there's something that's need that you see here in the English, the end of the first paragraph, if there's something that needs to be done in the course of childbirth, the lamp will lamp, my friend, to see, and she will do it for me. Meaning that's what she thinks the woman in labor. So this is very interesting. I sort of have to sort of calm myself a little bit, but on the one hand, we said, well, she's blind. She can't use it. So maybe we shouldn't do it. So then we say, no, you can use it. Why? Miyat vadate is going to put her at ease. What's going to put her at ease? So the Gemara then gives a very interesting tagline, a very sort of an interesting additional condition to this, which is that she thinks, right? We could have filled in the gap ourselves. If she wants a candle, she gets a candle. That's it. If a woman's in labor, she wants anything, you get her, right? It's not like a rocket science. But then the Gemara feels the need to tell us the next statement. Because the woman in labor thinks to herself, Iika midi, if there's something that's needed in this room while I'm giving labor, Chazya chavir ta'iv avdali, my friend who's with me will be able to then get it. Why does the Gemara feel the need to tell us that? On the one hand, the Gemara told us, even if it's unnecessary, even if there's no utility to the light itself, because she's blind, it would still be okay because it makes her feel comfortable. Why does it make? Okay, well that's okay. Okay, meaning even if for the potential, the theoretical, which doesn't even apply yet. Good. You're saying that the purpose of this line is to expand the leniency. Is there a way that this might restrict the leniency? What if I were to tell you that this woman wants us to turn on a cooking show? That's what's going to make her comfortable. What would you say? Yes or no?
No.
Why not? Ah, there has to be something relevant to what's going on. Meaning the reason we're being lenient is because you're giving birth. So why do we allow her to do the candle, even though she's blind? Because if there's something that needs to be done, my friend will do it. Not just random things. It doesn't mean my friend needs to, you know, get a manicure. Oh, she needs a candle for her manicure. No, it's a candle so that my friend can help me with childbirth.
My first child.
Yeah. Yeah.
Jean drove me to the hospital. We got in the car, and the radio was blaring. And he turned it off. And I thought, yeah, he turned it off. But it's really.
So there could be a difference between turning something off and turning something on. We're not getting into that.
No, I mean,
but,
I'm not even asking you the question. I'm just telling you.
Yeah.
Right. Crossed my mind, meaning I was not yet in the heavy stages.
Right.
Of
Interesting.
To that next stage, you don't
right. Then it's kind of like you can't think of anything else. But interesting case study. Okay, I'll take your word for it. interesting case study. So, but the point is that maybe this line, which is what makes her comfortable, not anything makes her comfortable, things that are relevant for what she's going through and what's necessary for this childbirth, that's what's going to be allowed. That's the leniency. And presumably that is part of this line. So Gemara says another example of the same concept, or I guess an extrapolation of that is im ha'isa tzricha l'shemen. If she needed oil, what's oil? She wants to, maybe for her skin, maybe for her comfort, maybe for whatever. So the Gemara said that you can do anything. So now it's very interesting what the question is here. You said, we learned the Mishnah, if she needed oil, her friends bring her oil in her hair. The Gemara asked, what good is this advice? Right? So the Mishnah had said, if she needs oil, so bring it in your hand. If you can't bring it in your hand, bring it in your hair. What does that mean? Soak up your hair with a bunch of oil and bring it to her and then take it out of your hair. So why would the Mishnah say to do that? Why can't you take a container?
You're trying to minimize what you do.
Says Adina, you're trying to minimize it. What's the problem with the minimization of that? If that's a word? Sounds like it could be a word. The minimization of that is not really a minimization. Because what's going to happen? You're going to put it in your hair, and then you're going to have to squeeze it out of your hair. Okay, so you replaced one malacha with another malacha. You replaced the malacha of hotza, of taking from one domain to another domain, and you replaced it with schita, with squeezing. Okay, shkayach, what did you gain? So the Gemara says, tepuklei mishum schita. That's just as bad. It's squeezing, schita. So Rabbi Rav Yosef Tamar Taravayu, no, you don't understand. Ein schita b'seyar. The malacha of squeezing doesn't apply to your hair. It does. But at this point, the Gemara is now entertaining the possibility that at least on a level of Ta'araisa, on a biblical level, it doesn't. Why? Because that's not how they squeeze things in the Mishkan. Remember that all of the malachos are tailored after how it was done in the Mishkan. It's really not for the one in labor, it's for the one who's helping get the oil. What did they have to do?
On the day when I was giving birth,
yeah.
It was a couple of hours before I really went into hard labor. And he's telling me the people he's meeting and waiting for.
I do not care.
You want to live through this?
Right. Yeah, right. So now the Gemara is entertaining the possibility within the assumption of Rabba and Rav Yosef, that there's no, at least biblical obligation, no biblical prohibition of squeezing when it's with your hair. When they did the things in the Mishkan, they would use natural sponges, and that's how they would squeeze things, independent, not connected to the body, that kind of thing. So therefore, they say, this is a very good suggestion. The suggestion is to put it in your hair so that you're not violating any commandments. Okay? Rav Ashi Amar, no. Afilu tema yesh chita b'sehar. Even if you're going to say that there is a full violation of squeezing when you put it in your hair, it's still better. It's still better to do it through your hair than to carry it in a container. Why? Miviala bekli derach sara, sikama de efshalishanuye mishaninan. As much as it is possible to change the manner in which one performs the labor that is being done to save a life, we change it. We do as much as we can to make it not normal. So that's a very interesting line. That kama de efshalishanuye mishaninan. As much as we're able to change it, we change it. This is despite the fact that we're dealing with someone in childbirth. What do we know about a woman giving birth who's in labor? In a halachic categorical sense, she's a sakana nefashos, right? It's considered to be a life-threatening situation. With everything that's going on, I don't have to explain it to this crowd, that there are a lot of dangerous things that can happen during childbirth. And halachically, we consider it to be a life-threatening situation, despite how many people, B'li Ayin Hara.
The Gemara was even more life-threatening.
Yeah, but for sure. For sure.
The odds of a woman surviving
past childbirth. I don't know what the odds were at that point. Definitely. Yeah, I don't know. Definitely not as much as today. Yeah, I can imagine. I can imagine that. Well, this is interesting because we've been saying that when a person's life is in danger, you can violate whatever you want. And if you can say you can violate whatever you want, then presumably what are we messing around here, putting in your hair, doing it in a weird way? Just do whatever you want to do. We're talking about someone's life is in danger. Why are we called the Efshar L'Shenui Mishanina? So this gets to a very important halakha, or a very important distinction of the halakha of Pikuach Nefesh, which is Hutra versus Dichuya. When we say that you're allowed to do whatever you want on Shabbos for the sake of saving someone's life, do we say, right, so you have a Shabbos, you have to keep Shabbos, and you have a person's life, you have to save a person's life. Now they're coming at odds, right? This was our imagery last week. So do we say, right, let's say this is the person's life, this is Shabbos. Do we say that the person's life takes precedence, meaning it's pushing it over to the side, but the second that there's no life that's immediately necessary to be saved, then Shabbos is right there? You know, it's a constant tug of war. Shabbos is right there. Any moment that the life doesn't need something, so Shabbos takes precedence, and Shabbos is right there to fill in the gap. So in this case, you could bring the oil. Yes, the life is going to be saved, but you don't have to bring it in such a normal manner. Shabbos is right there to push back against it. You still have to think about Shabbos. Shabbos is still there. Put it in your hair. Call the Efshar Mishanina. Any way you can change, you can change. Or do we say, life-threatening situation, Shabbos, not even here. Do whatever you want. Right? It's not a tug of war. And even if you were to pull back and say, well, right this moment, we don't need anything to save this person's life, doesn't matter. Shabbos isn't there anymore. The general situation is that it's a life-threatening situation. That's called Hutra. Something's mutar, it's completely allowed. As opposed to dichuya means it's being pushed away. Pushed away meaning constantly, like a spring. It's spring-loaded. As long as you're pushing, it's not going to be there. But the second you let off, it's coming right back at you. It's right there. You're pushing it, but it's still there. So that's the difference between hutra, it's completely mutar, versus dichuya, it's being pushed off. And this Gemara sounds almost explicitly, right? It's not any great chiddush of mine. It sounds almost explicit that it's dechuya, because we're trying to still not violate Shabbos in one way or another. The Gemara is entertaining why you're doing it with your hair as opposed to a container, because we're trying to change as much as possible to adapt to accommodate Shabbos even while we're saving a life. That sounds obvious. That sounds clear from the Gemara. Could you perhaps disagree with that interpretation? Anybody? This is, after all, a machlokas rishonim. So So how could it possibly be? How could it be that there, how could the Hutra people read this Gemara? Right? The Hutra rabbis, the Hutra Rishonim, the ones that believe that Shabbos is mamash not even there. Why are we bending over backwards to put the oil in the hair? Why do we do it like that? Yeah. You're saying for the candle one.
Yeah.
The candle situation sounds like Hutra.
Yeah,
is there a different... Yeah, but is there a way, is there another way to light a candle besides lighting a candle? I mean, I don't know if there's another non-biblical form of lighting a fire, which they had at their disposal. Now, I hear what you're saying. And it's like we're not even considering any other possibility, but is there another possibility? Maybe it's just the fact that there was no possibility that, you know, if the only way to bring oil in a container was to bring in a container, so then they also would just say bring in a container. But now that there's another way, which is to put it in your hair, so they would say preferably to put it in your hair. I'm not sure you have the same kind of options when it comes to fire. Maybe there are, and I just can't think of them, but let's look at the Rambam. How does the Rambam paskin? Now, this is going to be very important because the Rambam, as we know, is the major posek which the Shulchan Aruch paskins like. Right? 75% of the Shulchan Aruch, which becomes our code of Jewish law, is the Rambam, straight from the Rambam, Maimonides. So what the Rambam says is very formative of our halachic psak, especially when it comes to something which is not in the Gemara. Right? This is not explicit. The concept of Hutra and Dechuya is not explicit in the Gemara. It's an interpretation from the Gemara that we just read, but it's not explicit. And therefore, the Rif is not often going to talk about it, because the Rif, as we talked about last week, doesn't explicitly talk about things that are all outside of the Gemara. And the Rush oftentimes won't, but he does in this case. So the Rambam is what we're going to look at. This is in source number 2. For those who don't have the sheets, you'll come back eventually and you'll join with us with the sheets, but I'll say it out loud. Dechuya hi Shabbos. Look at that. We don't even have to try with the Rambam. It's clear cut. It's no exceptions to it. It seems dechuya hi Shabbos es sakanas nefashos kishar kol hamitzvos. Shabbos is pushed off for the sake of someone's life, just like all other mitzvot, except for the big three, of course, right? Vafikach, therefore, chol sheish bo sakana, which literally means someone whose life is in danger. Osim lo kol tzrachav b'Shabbos, al pi rof ha'uman, shel osim makom, obviously using the expertise of the local medical establishment. Safek shehu tzarech l'chalel, olav es Shabbos ha'b k'shein tzarech. If you don't know, maybe you should, maybe you shouldn't violate Shabbos. It's a safek, it's a doubt. V'cheinim amar rofe l'chalel, olav es Shabbos v'rofe acher omer eno tzarech. If one doctor says go to the hospital, the other one says don't. You don't have to. So then, mechalam es Shabbos. We always err on the side of caution, and we always violate Shabbos. Safek nefasha tzoch es Shabbos. Safek nefasha tzoch es Shabbos. I think we safek sakana nefasha tzoch es Shabbos. Even the possibility, or the legitimate possibility, not far fetched possibility, but even the safek, the doubtful case of life-threatening situation, we violate Shabbos for it. Okay? Yeah. Well, the doctor, but yeah. That's an interesting question. That's interesting. There is a Gemara in Avodah Zarah. Yeah. Right. So it is interesting. Yeah. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah says that if you get a psak, you're not allowed to go to another rabbi for another psak. But this is not Rabbanus. This is medicine. He didn't ask two rabbis, he asked two doctors. So I don't know if he needed to ask another doctor, but there's no prohibition of asking another doctor. Right? You're allowed to get a second opinion in medicine. You're not allowed to get a second opinion in psak. Let's say the first one said don't go to the hospital. Yeah, okay. The point is, always good to get a second opinion. That's what I was thinking. But yeah, you're right. I understand what you mean. If somebody says to go, then you should go. But maybe the doctor said it in sort of like, I think maybe it's a good idea to go. You know? But it wasn't so forthright. So he said, okay, let me go consult with somebody else. Or maybe the doctor said, I don't know, let me go ask the doctor. Presented his case, and they came to different conclusions. I don't know. But yeah, not the same as asking for a psak. So if you look at source number 3, we have this exact case. Hayoledes kishakoras leilit. Koras means like bend over. Like mishtachavim, anathakorim u'mishtachavim. All right, we bend and then we bow. Bending, I think here means with like the knees. I don't know if this is a method used, but I think they used to stand, right? So therefore, kisha koras leilit, meaning active labor. She's bending to give birth. Harei hi b'sakana sefashos and l'chalanas haShabbos. You can do whatever you need for that woman. Korin la chachama. Chachama is like a midwife or even just a, I think it's a midwife, or I don't remember if there's another word for it. So you can do the umbilical cord, the whole thing. And if she needs a candle at the moment she's screaming in her pain, so then somebody else who's not going through that pain, can light the candle. And even if she's blind, and feelings, her mind would be set at ease, if she knows there's a candle in the room, even if she can't see it, it would be okay. And if you need oil or something else, you bring it to it. You bring it to her. Like a person could, and this is one interpretation of the Gemara, and this might be what the Gemara had said at the end there. I didn't say it explicitly, but maybe you should bring the container inside of the hair, right? In a weird way. I mean, it doesn't mean put the oil in your hair, but it means wrap it up in your hair so that you're not literally holding it in a direct way. V'im iavshar, if you can't do that, mevia v'kedarka, so then you bring it normally. Right, we're not going to bend over backwards, but we're going to do what we can. Right, that's the word. He gets it right from the Gemara, and this makes sense with source number 2. Source number 3, which quotes our Gemara in source number 1, sounds a lot like source number 2, where the Rambam says clearly and unequivocally, "Dechuya hi Shabbos." Shabbos is pushed off. It's not something that we are getting rid of completely. But it's something we're pushing away, and if we're able to keep Shabbos in one way or another and not compromise this person's life, so then we will include that observance of Shabbos in the process. Okay. Sounds pretty set, sounds pretty obvious, sounds pretty clear from the Rambam until you get to source number 4. Now the truth is that source number 4 comes right after source number 1. But sources number 2 and number 3 go together, so I put them next to each other. Just to make us for the sake of ease. But when you read source number 4, I want you to tell me what is so glaringly contradictory of the Rambam. Amduhu biyom Shabbos. Let's say they evaluated a person on Shabbos. Shu'tzarach lekach vekach l'shmon yamim. That a person needs a certain violation of Shabbos activity for 8 days. The thing is that it's Shabbos today. And if we start treatment today, so you're going to violate Shabbos today, and you're going to violate Shabbos next week, would it be better to start on Sunday and therefore only violate one Shabbos? You're going to need 8 days anyway. You're not going to be able to heal the guy today. So then there's another separate question. So, Ein Omrim Namtin Ad Ha'erev, don't say, let's wait until tonight, Motzei Shabbos. Today Shul Kal of Shei Shabbos. So, Ela Maschilin Mehayom. You start right away. The Rambam, by the way, was a doctor. Shu Shabbos, u'mechalin alav afilu mea Shabbosos. You can violate even 100 Shabboses. That's 2 years. Kol zman shu tzarach v'yeshvo sakana osavi sakana mechalin. All the time that there is a danger, or even a doubtful danger, a possible danger, so then or Mechal Shabbos. Umadlikil Nel Asaner, and you can light the candle, Umechabin Milfanav Asaner, and you can put out the candle, Veshochtin Lo, and you can slaughter an animal, Veofin, Umevashlin, Umechamin Lo Chamin, and you can bake or cook, and you can heat up water, Bein Lashkos, Bein Lachitas Gufo, whether it's for him to drink, for the sick person to have a bath. Klolo shel davar, says the Rambam, I'll give you a good rule of thumb. The general rule is, the klal shel davar, the general rule is, Shabbos l'gavei chola, when it comes to Shabbos, in reference to a sick person, sheyesh bo sakana, whose life is in danger, harehu kechol l'chol hadvarim shu tzarech bahen. It's like a weekday for anything that they need. Like a weekday. What does that mean? What's a weekday? If I were to tell you, treat Shabbos like a weekday, that sounds a lot like chutzra. That sounds like Shabbos doesn't exist. I mean, that's the literal word. It's like a weekday, right? Remember that tug of war that we were going through? That's what it sounds like. If it's completely like a weekday, so then what am I putting my oil in my hair for? If it's a weekday, it's a weekday. I don't know what happened here in this thing stuff. But it sounds like the Rambam is going back on his word. The Rambam said the first word of the second parak of Shabbos is Dechuya hi Shabbos. It's Dechuya, it's pushed off. Now, we always have to make sure, and this happens a lot in modern academics too, we always have to make sure that we're using the words in the same way as the rabbis were using the words. You know how scholars of the Middle East, or I would say activists of the Middle East controversies, will look at old things and say, oh, look, Palestine. I told you it always existed. Obviously, we know that that's what they called Israel. Right? That was the normal name for Israel. That has nothing to do with Palestinians. But some people will look back at that and say, oh, look, Palestine. So the truth is, next room over. Yeah. I'll be there in a few minutes. Yeah, it's okay. We're basically doing more review stuff or similar.
To go to the museum.
Sorry, guys. I don't know what happened there.
I bridge calls, but I didn't. Actually, I think Rabbi Katz is back. Yeah. Oh, good.
And okay. I'm the muted one. Everybody else is talking and I'm muted. Anyways. Sorry, I don't know what happened, guys. But we've got another minute. Another 2 minutes or so.
I don't know.
So Palestine, right? Palestine, what are you talking about? So we always have to make sure that we're using the words in the same way that they used to use the words. We are setting up this whole shir with the words hutra and dechuya. Yeah.
The guy who is the head of the department talked about Palestine. When he talked about Palestine,
yeah,
he was not talking about the Israel that I talked about. And
okay. There could be a difference, but it's not the same Palestine that they're talking about today.
I mean, he was really whatever.
Right. Okay, so I mean, the point is that words are used differently in different generations in different contexts. Oh, yeah. So when the Rambam uses the word dechuya at the beginning of the halakha, so maybe we could say, okay, dechuya doesn't necessarily mean what we call dechuya. He means you push away Shabbos in a colloquial sense. He's not thinking about what are the briskers going to call this concept. He's just talking. And the word dechuya is maybe not such a specific word, and you know, in contrast to hutra. The problem is he talks about the case of the Gemara. The case of the Gemara was clear that if you can change something, you should change something. And therefore, how could the Rambam, even if you're going to say that the word dechuya doesn't mean what we think it means, how could he still quote that Gemara if he thinks that it's a weekday? If Shabbos is like a weekday, so then why are we putting anything in our hair? So this is the question that I'm going to leave you with. And this will be what we start with next week. Mirat Hashem. There's nothing in the way next week, but we will start at 7:15. 7:15 from now on, just because family stuff, too hard to work around. Last week we got a babysitter for 15 minutes. So it's just not, it's not worth it. But the point is that the Rambam on the one hand sounds like it's dechuya, based on the Gemara, which sounds like it's dechuya, that you have to put the oil in the hair, do whatever you can to change in deference to Shabbos, despite the fact that there's someone's life in danger. At the same time, he says that we treat Shabbos like a weekday. So the two things can't go together. It's either like a weekday, or we're trying to keep Shabbos. You can't have both. It can't be Shabbos and a weekday at the same time. And therefore, the question is, how could he possibly like both of these? And I will give you a little bit of an insight, which is that, or maybe you can call it a hint, it has to do with how we look at, how do we view the instance of a woman giving birth relative to other instances of life-threatening illness. That's all I'll say. You can think about it yourself, and God willing, we will pick up with that next week, Wednesday, 7:15.